It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Monday, March 18th, 2024. Well, let's start with a look at today's marine weather. Well, we have just had the most wonderful run of weather. I've just been savoring it every day. Today we have north winds 10 to 15 knots, wind waves from the north 2 feet high at 4 seconds apart, swells from the west 3 feet high at 11 seconds apart, and also from the west 3 feet at 17 seconds. So two different sets of swells. I would imagine that they are probably coming from two different sources, which could be storms far across the Pacific that have sent that energy here. And so I would invite you to savor the weather for another couple days, because by tomorrow, the clouds are going to roll back in, and by Wednesday, rain returns to the forecast. But it has been a lovely time, and we hope for more of it soon. Well, today I'd like to answer a listener question about dredging in the river. This is a huge subject that I've discussed numerous times here in the past on the show, but not recently. And I thought today that I'd review some of the basics and then share some new information that I haven't previously shared with you. When we look out at the river from the perspective of being on land, which is where most of us are, the river changes with the tide, and we see different things about it depending on what is happening. At low tide, you really get an idea of what vessels deal with here, because you can see the shallow spots and how deceiving the river can be to someone without a chart or some electronic device like a GPS chart plotter to help them see where the channels are. The Columbia River Ship Channel curves markedly after you enter the river in a vessel, and if you came in at high tide with no information about the river and made a straight line for, say, Astoria, you would quickly run aground. If you watch ships traveling in the river, they, relatively speaking, stay toward the south side of the river here, because that's where the channel is, and you can see this quite clearly at low tide. Now, the Columbia River is a very tidal river, meaning that it's affected heavily by the force of tides and by its own natural downriver course. Because of this, the river also moves large amounts of sediment eroded from the landscape, including the large network of other rivers and small tributaries that run into the Columbia. This all gets deposited into the vast river system, and it's all generally moving downriver, sometimes with tremendous force. If regular dredging was not happening, the ship channel would soon fill in to the point where it would be unnavigable, and that would stop the tremendous flow of goods and raw materials that comprises business conducted in the region on the river. So the river is a big economic driver here, and it's important to keep it open. Dredges keep the river channel open. Dredges are ships that are specially designed to suction sand and silt off the bottom and deposit it elsewhere. They are either owned by or under contract to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, which is the agency responsible for dredging. We see various dredges on the river here. One dredge ship we see here regularly is the Essayance. She's owned by the Army Corps of Engineers. She's a very cool ship. One way you can tell a dredge is that they usually have an area in the side of the hull that is cut away to allow big suction arms to reach over down into the water and down to the bottom. But also, if you see a ship that appears stationary in the water and sits there for a while but does not have an anchor out, it could be a dredge, methodically vacuuming the river bottom. Dredges are very high-tech ships that use GPS and computers to hover over specific coordinates on the bottom. They put all the dredge spoils, as they are called, into a tank on the ship that's open to the air, so you can see it from the deck. It's called a moon pool, and when it's full, they take the spoils and dump them in specially designated areas. Now, there are entire islands on the Columbia River that have been created entirely from dredge spoils. So there's a tremendous amount of material that always needs to be put somewhere. In the past, the Army Corps of Engineers has also put spoils out in the ocean, off the mouth of the river. In some cases, placement of some dredged sand in areas near the river's mouth created mounds on the seabed that inadvertently impacted Dungeness crab habitat and created shallow navigational hazards for mariners. So there's been some controversy at times over where dredge spoils have been placed, but it's a necessary ongoing need to move all this sediment out of the channel and put it somewhere. Now, the results of a study released last year around this time show another way to use this dredged sediment that could be a real game changer. In this case, it could be used to help replenish natural beach erosion. The study was published in April of 2023 in the journal Coastal Engineering, and it details a study that began in the late 1990s, experimenting with depositing dredge spoils in certain areas to see if it would accumulate on beaches and help combat natural beach erosion. And apparently, the study was successful. Here's a quote from Andrew Stevens, U.S. Geological Survey oceanographer and lead author of the study. Quote, "This work is the culmination of more than 20 years of research. We wanted to be able to predict where dredged sand goes after it's placed, how quickly it disperses, and how much moves towards the coast to increase the sand supply to beaches." Close quote. Now, let me read you a little from the U.S. Geological Survey website about this topic. In the study, approximately 216,000 cubic meters of sediment, equivalent to about 86 Olympic swimming pools worth, so you get an idea of how much sediment we're talking about here, was dredged from the river and experimentally deposited nearby as a submerged, relatively near shore, low relief berm. So what they mean is they've created a sandbar of dredge spoils and wanted to see where it would go out, but moved by currents in the ocean. Scientists repeatedly monitored the changing shape of the berm, tracking its dispersion toward nearby beaches. From these observations, scientists tested a sediment transport model to accurately predict the observed changes and quantify the amount of sediment delivered toward the coast, as well as optimal locations for the dredge sand berms. New research provides evidence that strategically depositing dredged sediments near shore, where coastal processes can then redistribute them, is a viable alternative to direct beach nourishment. Now, by direct beach nourishment, they mean depositing sand directly on beaches and then allowing it to wash away eventually through erosion. So it seems that this study is now helping scientists and engineers figure out new and more beneficial ways to use dredge spoils to protect area beaches from erosion and still allow for the necessary dredging of the river and using those dredge spoils in a way that will be a win-win. And just to explain a little further why this erosion is happening, scientists can trace the increased erosion of beaches, particularly to the north of the river's mouth, to the building of the north and south jetties, which fundamentally changed the natural flow of sediment deposits along beaches on the Long Beach Peninsula. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. You'll find ship schedules and a podcast of this program on my website at shipreport.net. Ship Report podcasts also on Apple and Spotify. You'll find marine weather and links to ship schedules and more on my Ship Report Facebook page. Thanks for listening and have a great day.